This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Hello. What's up?
The rain.
Oh, no.
That's
you
good...
got the... Are you in the dumps?
Nah. We got another, like, 2 weeks before, for no reason, you just get pissed off and angry and sad at, like, 6:15
when
the sun
goes down. You have
the blues. Nah, I didn't mind the rain at all.
It's kind of nice that it's raining today.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say it's nice. It's more of we need the rain. So I'm never happy about
Hence,
the rain.
It's nice.
But I understand that we need it. So, yeah, I'm okay
It did come fast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, snuck up on us.
Yeah, that was good rain.
This rain here?
There was quite a bit of it. I don't know if we had an inch of rain, but it felt like this was a heavier rain than what we had before.
I would just like them, you know,
yes.
Like the weather people.
Yeah, the weather gods or the
gods.
The people just reporting the weather.
No, the weather gods, the people who make the weather.
Sure.
I would like them to ease us into the rainy season, you know?
Yeah, maybe Buddha can start off with a little bit and then you go into like another one and then like, you know, just kind of on and then Jesus takes over.
Well, next week is supposed to be great, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a nice weekend too.
Yeah, so they are using us into it.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah, I guess so, but this just feels really like middle of winter type.
Yeah, big left hook.
Oregon, yeah.
You want the jab.
That's right.
Set me up a little
bit. As we look outside and it's not raining at the moment.
Well, but it's...
There was quite a bit.
It just looks very Oregon.
I had that moment today where you're coming across the Markham there where like the water splashes you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that like panic moment, even though like you know you're okay, but you can't see for like a second and a half. That's never a good feeling. You're like, ah.
Yeah.
Like, you get that in Florida a lot. I've been driving in Florida where you actually have to pull over because your wipers can't keep up with the rain.
Florida's weird.
And you just can't see. And then like 2 seconds later, it's 85 degrees again and you're sweltering hot.
I feel like Florida... Storms come out of nowhere.
They do.
And they last for very short periods of time.
But an ungodly amount of rain.
Yeah. And then it's over. And then it's sunny.
But it's miserable.
And humid.
It's miserable, exactly.
Really humid.
Because it's hot as hell, and then the humidity kicks in, and you're like, this is awful. And even, like, the rain is warm, too. It's not even like a cleansing, hey, I'll get outside and cool off sort of thing. It's terrible.
Which of the three of us has spent the most time in Florida? Probably you, right? Because didn't you play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I did. I lived there for 2 years.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I often visited Florida.
Yeah, I wondered because being a New York guy, a lot of New York people, or New Jersey, they vacation there, right?
Well, my grandparents lived there for a while, or my grandfather did. So we would visit him once a year. Went to Disney World a couple times.
Mike is Jewish, he's from New Jersey. Of course his grandparents went to Florida.
Yeah. I feel like it's some sort of law. It's like a state law that if you're elderly and Jewish, you must retire to Florida.
Yeah.
Like either that or you're just shamed into it. It's like some sort of cultural thing.
Basically, anybody who's elderly and Jewish from Boston, New York, New Jersey, or D.C. area goes to Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. Yes.
And then they move down there and they pretend it's not hot and they complain about every little thing that's happening there.
Sometimes they have two homes and they're snowbirds. They go down there in the winter and then they come back in the summer. They don't deal with the Florida heat as much.
It always blew me away, though, that you could be in the middle of summer in Florida and, you know, you're just, if you're down there and for me, I mean, you're just like going to and from practice, but it's shorts, flip-flops, and a tank top, right? I mean, just that's just your standard wear. And then you'll see like the old couple cruising down, like, you know, they're walking down the street or maybe on a park bench, and the dude's got some like Sansabout slacks on and she's wearing like a shawl or some sort of cardigan thing. And you're like, what is happening here? Like, it's 92 degrees outside and it's like 70% humidity. How is this possible? Hmm. And I don't know if it's just like when you get old, like your skin becomes so translucent and like paper thin, you can't hold in heat. You become like a snake. I don't know what it is, but it's the damnedest thing in the world. And they will constantly complain that there's some sort of chill. And if you go into a restaurant, be prepared. There will be an old person complaining about the AC. They're like, no, this isn't going to work for me. They're like within 10 feet of a vent. And somehow they're getting frostbite.
By the way,
it's a weird thing.
The beginning of jacket and jean season is at 70 degrees.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Because I went down there, wow. And I have a cousin or like a cousin-in-law or something that lived down there, and we visited them. And it was, I want to say, 72 degrees outside. And he was my age. And he was wearing like jeans and a jacket to go out to dinner. And I'm like, dude, it's 72 degrees. He goes, it's cold.
Yeah.
That's like, cold
for
them.
It's 72. Yeah.
Well, what's ours? 60?
I think 55? It's more like 55, yeah.
Well, it depends. 50. There's some people like Swag will not wear pants. Like, he's a shorts guy all year round.
A lot of Oregonians do that, I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, today...
they refuse to admit that it's actually cold.
Well, like, with today, like, we don't have to dress up because there's no one in the office.
So this is the greatest part of COVID for us.
Yeah, like, you can
well, not
just...
that we dressed up anyway.
I was going to say, you've changed nothing about your outfit.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. We come in way more cash now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'd at least throw on a pair of nice shorts. Today, I didn't.
No, I would normally dress... like, you're not dressing like you're in a frat, and you're certainly not dressing like you're going to the gym. I have worn... I think I've worn nothing but athletic clothes, like Nike gear, for like the last 6 months.
It's great.
And so like today I'm just wearing workout shorts and a long sleeve t-shirt. My key is when it's the winter time, stocking cap. As long as I got the bald dome covered up, I'm fine. Until you get down like into the 50s. That's the only way I can differentiate between fall and summer is the stocking cap gets the call up.
I have a mental rule for myself where if it's still going to be nice in the future, I don't go to jeans. So I'm wearing shorts right now, even though it's a little cold and rainy.
Right.
But
I'm with you on this.
Next week, it's going to be nice. Yeah, I'm not retiring the shorts until I have to retire the
shorts. That's right. It's not fully set in yet, so no. I'll just power through these few days.
Yeah. If we hit a time in the forecast where I look ahead and I see nothing but 58 and rain, I'll put the shorts away for the year, and I'll put the jeans on.
You'll know
but beyond that, I'm not doing it.
You'll know it because stupid Karen will let you know it. You will see the Karens knee-high boots, some sort of oversized sweater with either like a giant neck or there'll be like a scarf that was knitted and is 72 yards long, and there'll be a pumpkin spice latte in their hand. They will let you know when it's officially time to put away shorts. When you see that at your local Starbucks or Black Rock or wherever, that's when you know that it's the Buffett season is over and it's time to move into spooky season. Knee-high, white ladies in knee-high boots and sweaters.
Now, I have a little bit of, quarterback news today for you guys.
Okay.
Show quarterback news.
Oh.
But before that, I have a question.
Ready?
I have another weather question.
Ask away.
So if you're someone who, like Mike was saying, because this is true in Southern California too, a little bit, probably not as bad as Florida. But in Southern California, you'll be in San Diego and it's 65. And to you, it's like, oh, my God, this is great.
Sure.
And somebody's out there in a parka.
Yeah.
Because to them, it's cold.
Yeah.
Are you always stuck in your original weather? The way you view weather, or do you, if I move to Florida for 20 years,
you'll adjust.
Will I then become 72 as cold guy?
Yes. 100% adjust.
Adjust.
Yeah.
Well, I think your body makes changes to adjust naturally.
Yeah.
The joke is your blood gets thinner.
Science.
And I think that actually is a little bit true because it's hot all the time. So it actually makes you colder.
I've lived in two parts of the country, two distinctly different parts of the country.
Yeah, Midwest and here.
Yes, and I would say that I still treat weather like I do at home in the Midwest. Like, I've always found it wild that, like, you'll drive by kids in the morning, like, waiting at the bus for the bus, you know, in Oregon, and it can be 30-something degrees out, like, early or whatever, and they're out there in shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You would never see that at home because at home you're just conditioned that, I mean, anything below 40,
you put on the
damn cold and it could get colder. Here, I think there's like a little bit of denial that it gets that cold. Or if it does, like Mike was saying, you just fight through it.
100% agree.
But I
with
still
you.
Treat it, I still kind of treat my weather like the Midwest.
I will say this.
I've not acclimated to the West weather.
This was the first time I went back home, quote unquote, to New Jersey in the middle of the summer in a long time. I could not handle the humidity anymore. I went out and I was just like, I'm walking into a wet blanket. And my parents were like, what are you talking about? It's not that humid. And I was like, yeah, it's humid. And
because
there's no humidity here at all almost. Yeah. Yeah. So I have adjusted to West Coast weather. I probably still act like East Coast weather guy, but yeah, I mean, I went over there and I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. Well, I'm sweating the second I step outside.
I remember, so in Utah, we have a little bit of elevation, but it gets hot. I mean, you're 100 plus degrees in August and into early September. So whenever we would start the season, when we would have East Coast teams that would come out, I remember Virginia coming out, Mississippi State, Tulane. And afterwards, you talk to guys, right? Or before games, you chat with everybody. And
you talk about the weather.
You talk about the weather. And they would all sit there and just lament the heat. And to us, it was so bizarre because when we would go down there, same sort of thing. You're like, what the hell is this? The humidity. So the altitude and the dry and the 110 that they'd face, they were cooking. But we would go down there and it would be 90 degrees and humid. And for us, it would kill you. So there is, you adjust to wherever it is you're at. Or as you get older, like everyone in my family hates the heat. You've never met a bigger candy ass when it comes to heat than my brother. I mean, he just
hates it, huh?
Oh, he can't stand it.
I can handle it.
He flips out on it. And I was that way growing up. My whole family was. We were all just big people. We were like a family of walruses, and we did not want it to be warm. Just everyone in my family, and to this day, they're all like that. And now I love the heat. I crank it up. I don't mind the humidity. And a lot of that is just having lived in warm places and traveled to warm places. I just have, for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I hated it. It'd be like 90 degrees here and I would bitch. I'm like, I'm not going outside. And now it's very rarely is it ever too hot or humid for me.
Yeah, I agree. Give me 100 degrees over 32 degrees any day.
Absolutely.
Any day of the week.
I'm tired. I'm over the cold. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll pass. And I'm from Alaska, for heaven's sakes. Where there's days where if you go up there and we'd go up for Thanksgiving or go up in Christmas. And I'm not kidding. People would be excited because it'd be in the teens. They'd be like, oh, yeah.
Balmy.
Going to be a nice one. Going to be in the teens. You're like, what? You're like, yeah, it's going to be like 16 degrees today. And you're like, and they're like, this is being outside active weather. And you're just like, you're insane. But for them, you know, anything that wasn't single digits in the wintertime is it's a wonderful winter day.
All right. Well, you want the good news or the bad news?
Well, let's
first
start with the bad and then we'll end on a positive note.
I don't know anyone who does it differently.
Yeah.
You know, always just take the bad.
You want to end on a high note. You don't want to be built up to be torn down. No.
The bad news is, well, maybe it's good news for some people, but we only have a 3-hour show today. And that's because radio.com original programming, I'm listening.
No one is more upset about this than Isaac Rob.
We'll be airing at 6.
Rob wanted to do an extra hour. He wanted to go to 8, and they said,
well,
no.
Well, the boss said, because it's a show
it's
about...
It's a Wednesday, first of all, so Hot Corner would be getting removed if Rob went an extra hour. You jerk.
We can't have that.
No.
Sorry.
That's elite programming.
Sorry, Mike.
We're on 8 to 9 tonight, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Nice.
After I'm listening.
So
you listen, and then you listen again.
Just always listen.
Yeah. Wait, a three-time
never
listen.
Stop listening.
Listen now, listen at 6, then listen at 8.
So I'm Listening is a show about mental health.
Yes.
And from what I understand, Katy Perry will be on it.
Well, there you go.
And it's an initiative that we have here at our company because we care.
Yes.
We care about you.
Well, it's important right now. Anyone that doesn't take mental
health
seriously.
Jesus.
Man. And as someone that I was not a huge therapy guy, wasn't my cup of tea, absolutely saved my life. Two and a half years, I went twice a week, and that was the best decision I ever made in my life. So even if you're saying it's not for me, I'm telling you, every single person can benefit from it. It absolutely saved my life.
So a very interesting show tonight at 6. So no club. The boss was arguing that perhaps Club 1080 was good for mental health just as much as I'm listening. But we step aside tonight.
Yes. Well, who are we to tell Katy right. Perry no?
That's right. Very famous people will be on there. Yes. Now, the good news is we have guests.
Oh.
We have guests. Two bits of quarterback guest news.
I'm percolating right now.
Your wedding?
Percolating.
Oh. One, Joey Harrington, I announced this yesterday, but for those who were not listening, shame on you. Joey Harrington is back every Friday at 5:30, beginning Friday.
Hey! And we might have a Pac-12 announcement by then because we got the big meeting, the powwow, on Thursday.
Tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah.
What time are they meeting? They're going to play.
Yeah, they're going to play. But we should be able to find out October 31st, staggered start, November 7th, how many games, we'll get all that. In theory.
And today, we have another quarterback coming on our show.
Double quarterback play.
How about this?
Is Dirt coming on?
Who?
Dirt?
Who?
Dirt.
Dirt?
Dirt was...
A quarterback?
Yeah, Dirt claims to be like all conference or something other, high school.
Really?
I think he's Al Bundy. Yeah, he claims he was a quarterback back in the day.
I think he's given the proof. Like, I think he was all conference when he was a senior at Cleveland.
There you go.
Oh.
Dirt's back there slinging that rock.
A grown man should never brag about his high school accomplishments.
Probably not, but...
That's how I feel about that. Is that controversial?
But the Pheasant Bowl's okay to brag about?
Well, yeah, because it was pretty important.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
I mean, come on. Don't compare high school football to the Pheasant Bowl.
I mean, geez, of eighth Mike. Grade. God, what an ass.
Yeah, you're an ass.
That's just ridiculous.
You know who's coming on today at 5:30? Not Joey Harrington. Joey Harrington, again, will be with us every Friday.
Friday.
Today at 5:30 will be none other than the great Gus Frerotte.
Yes. Gus Frerotte. Quarterback news.
Mike got Gus Frerotte on the show. So we will talk to him about all things football and the guy who tried to kill Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Dr. Nick Riviera, apparently. The Chargers can't seem to hire a competent doctor. And by the way, real quick, for the people saying BS on me liking the heat because I like to keep my house cold, that's two totally different things. House temperature and what you enjoy being outside, two totally different things.
Yeah, house temperature needs to be butt cold.
Yes.
At all times.
Yes.
Like 63.
Well, if you can control the temperature, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I like it to be nice and cool in the house, but I'm saying if you're going outside and doing something, crank up the heat. But that's the beauty part is you get the juxtaposition of the hot outside and then come inside to some sweet 66 degree air conditioning.
66.
It's wonderful. I got
crank that lower, Sue.
I got
come
kids
on.
And they bitch and moan and it's a never ending. But wait till
whose house is it?
Wait till the winter hits and I turn the heat off and then they really start complaining when it gets down to 58 and then I feel bad. And
I think it's our rent's due's house.
It is our rent's due.
No, I don't go that low. I go 68 to 70.
Yeah.
So I can't relate to that coldness.
That's a wonderful feeling.
Because the second
though.
It gets crispy, I'm cranking it up.
Yeah.
No, see, what you do is you leave it cold and you get yourself a blanket. And that's the perfect, if you are cold enough where you need a blanket in your own house, that's the perfect temperature.
I can't disagree with that. I really can't.
Are you under a blanket when it's like 90 degrees outside sometimes?
Yeah. What? Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's just more comfortable.
Oh, see,
instead of just like sitting on the couch.
We are going to get into now. We're going to spiral
itself?
Out of control because we're so long. Am yeah. I the only one that sleeps with nothing on top of me?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've got a situation. We've
I
got
sleep
a
with two blankets.
We've got a Sipowicz happening at my house right now.
What does that mean?
It was a situation. There's a situation brewing over my. Okay.
The reason why you went with a Jewish last name kind of sounding thing instead of just saying situation.
It's a Sipowicz. You got to check it out. It's a. It's an investigation.
Okay.
There's a crime that's been committed, and I'm not happy about it.
We've got
a
Goldberg.
I feel like that's a New Jersey dentist, but okay.
And I'm getting accused of being, I don't know, like strange, and quite frankly,
strange.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to it on today's show. let's put it in the broadcast.
There's no club, so you got to do it during the sports.
I need to find out if there's anyone else that's like me that just I don't want things on me.
Okay, well, we'll explore that today, too. Suddenly a lot to get to.
A lot to get to.
But let's talk. So Gus Frerotte, by the way, he hosts a show. He hosts a podcast. It's called Huddle Up with Gus.
Oh.
And you can subscribe by going to huddleupwithgus.com. So we're going to throw him on and talk some football because he played it.
Let's do it.
That'll be at 5:30. We will start with the guy who tried to kill Tyrod Taylor. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All All right, our poll question today, as always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. It is on 1080thefan.com. AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today we are asking you, how good of a pro will Justin Herbert be? You have three options.
Great. Normally you only give me two.
No, I gave you three here.
Okay.
Okay. You're lucky. It's your lucky day, bitch. greatness, solid starter, bust.
Mm.
That's what you have to vote on.
That's tough. I certainly,
it is tough. See, I gave you three options, but I also didn't give you a hedge.
No, you didn't give me a hedge. I mean, everyone knows I have not been high on Justin Herbert as far as the NFL prospects go. So to me, the star is out. I don't see it. Nothing I saw in college ever led me to believe that he is a star quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I'll say solid starter.
Solid starter?
I'll say solid starter. I'm not going to say he's a bust. He's a smart kid. He works real well, has all the physical tools, ends up in a good system, gets some stability. I'll go with solid starter.
That's, I think, what I would say too, especially after watching his first game. That was pretty impressive for a first game.
Sure.
You know, I don't know why we thought maybe he would suck in terms of, like, I think maybe the Hard Knocks show
made
us think he was like, ooh, boy.
And if you read through things, a lot of people that had covered the team, they just weren't very high on him. They said he's very raw.
Good talent.
He's a good talent, but he wasn't ready. And so you get kind of thrown to the wolves there. And like I said, I think we've over... inflated that game. If you go back and watch it, it was a solid effort, especially for the circumstance being thrown in. And there's a lot to work with there.
The Chiefs are pretty good too.
Yeah, the Chiefs are a good team. So, you know, this idea that, you know, that he was this unbelievable force, and I can't see how you don't just run with him, that's foolish. But anyone saying that he didn't play well is also foolish. So,
bunch of fools.
And after one game, God, why do we do this so often with quarterbacks where we try to make evaluations after even three or four or five games? It's just, it's absurd that we try to do this. So, dude, let the kid kind of grow and develop. He's going to take some lumps. And what you want to see is continued growth. And even if you struggle for a year or two, it doesn't mean that you can't find your way back. My best example of this is Josh Allen. Josh Allen was not a good quarterback for 2 years. He was a raw quarterback that had some ability to run around, and he had a really good team around him. If Josh Allen were on a bad team, he is a total bust, and he never would have developed, right? That guy would have been washed up and thrown out. But Josh Allen played with a great run game, a good O-line, and a good system around him, and it allowed him to kind of grow and develop slowly, take some warts, not get his brains kicked in and develop bad habits. And lo and behold, through 2 weeks, and again, we can't say that this is the culmination of his career and he's going to be a superstar, but it looks like Josh Allen has turned a corner a little bit. And minus some bonehead plays when he's running around trying to do too much, he looks so much better in the pocket and making good decisions with the football. So, you know, the idea that we can say Herbert after a game or even a year or a year and a half is this or that is foolish.
All right, well, the big news today is about Tyrod Taylor, and it looks like Herbert is going to start again.
And maybe for a while.
Because Tyrod Taylor, so what happened with him was like right before the game.
Yeah.
And now it's come out that the team doctor for the Chargers punctured Taylor's lung while giving him a painkilling injection.
So I guess he had a busted rib, and obviously, you know, you're injecting into the site. And I do know from having taken injections a lot, which are super fun, they kind of wiggle that around in there. It's not like it's just an injection where you kind of go in and then, you know, you press the little plunger. They move it around a little bit in there, and it's really, really awful. And so I was kind of reading through today and different actual medical people that say, while this certainly is bad, they say that it's not that uncommon. They said, certainly you should be able to do this safely, but when you are injecting that close, there is a chance of this. So
lawsuit.
It's not good. It's not good. And I'm not trying to say it's good. I just think that some people painting this as like the biggest malpractice thing of all time, from at least what I've read from actual doctors and not just internet warriors, this is bad. It's sloppy, but it's not criminal negligence, you know?
Yeah, I picture Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
That's what I picture.
Ah! You got to stab to get in through the cartilage and the breastplate there.
But it does sound bad.
Well, it's the most Charger thing ever, right? I mean, the Chargers doctor got fired for overprescribing painkillers a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, the Chargers have a history of apparently hiring not the most qualified people. And, you know, when you're a team doctor, look, maybe he's given 1,000 of these and it's the first one that's gone wrong, but it's the only one that anyone's going to care about. And, you know, this is the reality of it, is you don't got a lot of margin for error when you're dealing with starting quarterbacks in the NFL and you injecting them and then puncturing lungs.
Well, that's a pretty big misstep.
Yes, it is.
Because that's your starting quarterback.
Yep.
Good grief. So who knows how long he'll be out, but he had to go straight to the hospital.
Yeah. Well, I mean, couldn't breathe.
He was like, ow.
Yes. And they, you know, originally they were saying, like, is it a bad reaction to the injection, which can happen. You can hit a nerve, or you can have the site get infected, or again, the medicine cannot sit well with you. You do hear about that from time to time. I have never heard about the punctured lung. Bettis took one in the groin and it hit a nerve and he went numb. And so he couldn't feel his groin or his leg. And
wasn't that the whole idea?
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between the let's numb it up and I literally can't feel a gall darn thing. So yeah, he had to miss a playoff game because of that. But I've never heard of anyone puncturing a lung.
So they say that, like you said, you know, puncturing a lung in that procedure is a known risk. But most of the time, what doctors will recommend following something like that is no strenuous activity for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So he could be out a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I love that they were like, we were hopeful he could play the next week. My man, got a punctured lung. Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
Just but, sounds terrible.
Well, welcome to football, though. Like, this is the ugly truth behind football, and I've said it a million times. We all, you know, we all want to believe that football is like this kind of gladiator sport, right? And that it's just it's full of tough guys, which it is. But the leagues run on painkillers. It just is. Without pharmaceuticals, there is no NFL because guys can't play.
Well, no one cares about that. Do
no,
they?
We just kind of look the other is. Way.
Look at the game they play.
Yeah, so you know things can go awry. Like they go into that little tent and they come out and suddenly they're fine. What do you think's going on in the tent? Like you're taking the needle. So I mean, this is just the reality of it. So it sucks that he got his lung punctured and. I don't know if a doctor is going to lose his job over this or if Tyrod Taylor ends up suing if he loses his job or what kind of case he has. It certainly doesn't look good, but, you know, you stick enough needles in someone over the years in the NFL.
Bound to hit a few lungs.
Something's bound to happen, right?
Jeez.
But it is amazing what guys are willing to play through and what guys are willing to endure to stay on the field. And if you're the case, in the case of Tyrod Taylor, right, where they said we hoped he was going to be able to play this week, Tyrod Taylor knows what's up. He knows that if he sits out another week or two, he's not getting another starting job, right? This was it. And he had one chance to try to hold on to this as long as he can, and it was robbed of him because someone stuck a needle in his lung. But of course he was going to try to roll his ass out there.
The schedule is next 4 weeks for the Chargers. Justin Herbert will get Carolina this week at home.
Which is a very, very winnable game.
At Tampa, at New Orleans, and then they get the Jets at home.
Yeah.
So they could go 2-2 maybe?
Sure. I mean, that's
right in there.
Look, I think
3-1.
If you're the Chargers, I don't know if you're a playoff team at this point, but I think all your at
this
point.
Their defense is pretty good.
Well, the defensive line is really good. You know, they got some injuries on the back half of it, but and by the way, this is the most.
They can beat New Orleans.
This is the most Charger thing ever because when you get hurt in LA, you really get hurt. Like there's no like if someone rolls an ankle, no, that thing is going to be broken. You're going to be out for 9 weeks. It's the Charger way. Tyrod Taylor is not coming back anytime soon. So to me, if you're Anthony Lynn at this point, just give it to Herbert. Try to protect him with a good run game. You've got a good old line. You have a good back. There's some weapons there.
Who's their running back now?
Eckler. Who's actually good.
And the rookie, Joshua Kelly's played well, too, from UCLA.
Run the rock. Play action pass. Get the ball out of the rook's hands. Rely on your defense and hope that just each week you see progress being made. And don't throw him to the wolves and develop bad habits and force him to do things that aren't comfortable. Keep it simple, stupid, for a little bit of time until the kid can get his feet wet and you can see what you have.
And I think you hope to see just a little bit more accuracy from Herbert moving forward because he missed a lot of easier throws in his first game.
Well,
he made some great throws, but there were some easy ones where he was just a little bit ahead of a guy.
And this was my question about Herbert coming out of Oregon was that's what I saw for 4 years. is there's times you look at him and you're like, God, that looks so good. And he just lets it rip. And other times, even when he has a ton of time in the pocket, it's just not there. The decisions are slow. He holds onto the ball and he's inaccurate. And if you do that in the NFL, you will struggle, which is why I said to me, if you're the Chargers, the game plan for me is rely on the run game, play action. If you haven't figured out by now that the quarterback's best friend in the NFL, play action pass. When you have a good run game, you look like Super Bowl Los Angeles Rams. When you don't have a run game, you look like last year's Rams team. Run the ball, play action, and again, get the ball. Derek Carr, get the ball out of his hands early. Have him make 1 to 2 reads until he becomes more comfortable in the system and get it out of his hands. And then there, he needs to be more accurate, because if you are going to run a precision short passing game, you got to be accurate and not miss some of the throws that he missed in the first one. And then, of course, don't throw across your body into double coverage in the red zone. Not a good idea for anyone, let alone rookie quarterbacks.
I say throw bombs.
Just sit back and seven-step drops and run the Tuds play.
Tuds, boys. Tuds. Then somebody texts, you know, maybe the doctor was a Herbert fan.
Oh, there you go.
You know, maybe Justin Herbert's dad put him up to it.
Well, Justin Herbert wanted to be a doctor.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I did see the internet is undefeated, but there were some great ones. When this news broke, I think it was Schefter that had it. Some of the replies were Dr. Nick Riviera.
Oh, you don't have to dump that.
Ah,
Dick
name.
Is a name.
I dumped it.
That's my father-in-law's name, Dick.
There were a lot of Dr. Nick Riviera ones.
He's a
ones.
Great Dick.
There was a lot of Johnny Sins, like this is the doctor. And there were a lot of people that took a doctor's body and then they put Herbert's head on top of it and was like, this is the doctor.
I love it.
Yeah.
Internet, you're so cool.
Yeah, it's undefeated.
All right, we'll touch on the NBA before we get to our NFL Hump Day Roundup coming up at 4. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we have our NFL Hump Day Roundup. We're going to hump at 4. 4 p.m., that is. Gus Frerotte, former NFL quarterback. Huddle Up with Gus host. He will be joining us at 5:30. And then very special programming replacing the club tonight, a show called I'm Listening.
Yes, about mental health.
Yes, should be good. I've heard good things about it, and it's airing all across all of our intercom stations all across the country.
Yes, and it is tonight. Important, you know, there's a lot of people that are struggling right now. Well, there's a lot of people that are struggling all the time, but with everything that's going on, making sure that you've got the kitchen clean upstairs and your house in order, it's very, very important. And I think we would do a lot better off in this country if we took mental health more seriously.
So that'll be at 6. Now, the Nuggets won last night. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes, they did.
They kind of ran the Lakers out of the gym, huh?
Lakers made an effort to kind of rally there at the end, but the Nuggets put them away.
The only thing I saw about that game, well, two things. One, LeBron had a triple-dub.
Yeah.
Trip-dub. And that's great, but they lost. And Anthony Davis is 7'8", right?
He's 7'8"?
Yeah, and he didn't get his first rebound until 4 minutes left in the game, and I'm not sure how that happens.
That's not a good thing.
I don't understand how that happens.
I mean, the Nuggets were up. It was within 3 or 4 after the first quarter, but then the second and third, they really pulled away. And like I said, L.A. made it a game down the stretch, but it wasn't much of a game. It was kind of wire to wire there for the Nuggets. And so now, of course, everyone's like, oh, do we have a series? And well, yeah. Did anyone think you weren't going to have a series?
Yeah, I think some people did.
I mean, the Nuggets have been down 3-1. I mean, you don't get to the conference finals and then you just roll over. So, you know, people are asking, is that, you know, Denver asserting their will? Have they figured something out? Dwight Howard wasn't very good in this, and he's been a nice little X factor for the Lakers. You know, like you said, with Anthony Davis, you know, not grabbing a rebound and not being as dominant on the defensive end. Was that indicative of something more, or was it the Lakers taking their eye off the ball, right? I mean, the Lakers have had a couple of those this year where they just don't particularly show up. And while Davis and James had a pretty good game, that was about it. No one else really did anything. The supporting cast really didn't have any sort of impact on it. And, you know, we know that, you know, when AD and LeBron are going to get theirs, but when LA starts getting help from the supporting cast, they're the best team in the NBA. So I just give me, you know, if it ends up being 2-2, then you've got a series. But right now, I still think LA is in control of this.
I've heard some people say that it's as wide open as ever. It's, and that's exciting because, you know, the NBA is usually pretty predictable.
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. I see it more like you. I mean, it's nice Denver won that game, but I thought that Anthony Davis buzzer beater was a dagger that Denver wasn't going to recover from, and I don't think either team in the East, as good as they are going to give the Lakers much trouble at all.
Well, again, trouble. I'll give me L.A. in six, you know, in both of these. If you tell me right now, just give me L.A. in six and whoever, you know, Boston or Miami, again, give me L.A. in six. I just think that those...
I think they might sweep the finals.
The combination of those two, I don't, because again, I go back to when you get good supporting play, the Lakers are damn good. But I also think that the supporting cast isn't consistent enough. They're not good enough where they're not going to lay an egg here or there. And again, Denver is good. And you got three big performances last night because Jokic was good. Murray has been phenomenal in these playoffs. And then Grant had 28 or something last night. And one of the Morris brothers had a nice game for you. So, like, Denver just played a good game. And if you thought Denver, after being down 3-1 in the first two series and coming back, wasn't going to have an answer for the Lakers, they were just going to roll over and die, shame on you. The Nuggets, if the one thing you know about the Nuggets is they can take a punch and they can get up off the mat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who thought they would roll over and die, but the Lakers are just... They're damn good. I mean, I could see the Lakers winning the next two. I could see the Lakers rattling off six in a row here and it's over.
Yeah. Oh.
They're that good.
It's possible, but like I said, give me LA in six over the next two.
And then we've got Boston, Miami tonight. For some reason, there was a three-day layoff. No idea why.
Yeah.
Because they're in the bubble.
Can't quite figure that one out.
These guys had to be so bored in there.
Something had to be. My guess is they may have just been wanting to dance around the NFL, right? I mean, you don't want to go... You don't want to go head-to-head with Monday Night Football, or you saw what happened in the U.S. Open on Sunday. You want to avoid the NFL at all cost.
That is true. That's probably why they did it. But that game gets underway at 5:30 tonight, and the Heat are up 2-1. Good series.
Yeah.
Good little series. Now, that series is pretty close. They're like the same team.
Yeah, well, I agree that L.A. is the superior team, but remember, if Anthony Davis doesn't hit that that three, man, you got Denver up 2-1.
I mean, yeah, but he did. I think if it were 1-1, I don't know that Denver wins game three. You know what I mean? If it were, if it were 1-1.
Yeah, you might have a different.
It's a different Laker team. Yeah. I think, you know, well, but we'll see. We'll see. Denver's tough, but Lakers are better. And LeBron's dropping triple doubles on everybody. And Anthony Davis has the best player efficiency rating of any player in playoff history.
Yeah.
Right now, that's true. I mean, he's having his moment. You know, it's his playoff. This is the moment where I think Davis gets a ring, and he's going to earn it because he's played great and he's hit big shots. And
he has been the best player, and
he needed that.
And this is also the first time, and I've seen a couple of people that have written about this, and not that he isn't great, and you know, he had another triple double last night. I think you can see some of the age in LeBron. He's not their best player. It's Anthony Davis. And that is, and he's what, 35, 36, LeBron is.
I mean,
he's
but that was true in the Blazers series, I thought.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a little weird to see a mortal LeBron James.
But he can still get anywhere he wants.
He is still an absolute beast, but this is the first time in his career when there has been a better player, maybe on the floor, period, but certainly on his team. As great as LeBron is, Anthony Davis is the most important player for the Lakers.
And you got to give LeBron some credit, too, for bringing Davis along. I mean, I know a lot of guys get crap. You know, like if this were Kevin Durant, he'd get crap.
Yeah.
For aligning with LeBron and riding his coattails. But when you're this good, and Durant would be the best player on that team, too, right?
Yeah.
You don't really get that label because you know that LeBron's not the best player anymore. He's not dragging Anthony Davis or whomever along. It's Anthony Davis holding up his end of the bargain. That said, LeBron James deserves a lot of credit for playing with and helping out Anthony Davis and making him shine, because LeBron is the thing about LeBron. I dislike LeBron. I just always have, but you can't argue how well he plays the game of basketball. It's in this league that's always about points per game and shot and, you know, how many threes a guy hits, or just, you know, LeBron James just knows how to win. And I think that gets overlooked because he's such a tank. I mean, he's such a machine physically, but it you know, him dishing out triple doubles and passing to Anthony Davis when just, I don't know, just the leadership of LeBron James is probably not, doesn't get the credit it deserves because he's kind of, he's a little passive aggressive and he's had some problems in the past with teammates and this and that. But I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. And give Anthony Davis credit too for all the crap that he has taken. And he really hasn't done a whole lot outside of that Blazer series. He has never really elevated his team. And, you know, he has, if they win a title this year, I think the MVP will be Anthony Davis. And this will be a little bit like, and
well, again, he deserves it.
He deserves it. Like it, when KD came over to Golden State, no one gives him any credit, but who was the finals MVP in both of those years? It was Kevin Durant, you know, and I get it's not quite the same joining this Lakers team versus joining the, you know, those, you know, 70 plus
the best win, team in the league,
best team in the league. But give Kevin Durant some credit in that Kevin Durant didn't go there and just ride anyone's coattails. And Anthony Davis has elevated his game. Now they got to finish this thing off, but if they do, then it shuts up a lot of people about, you know, is Anthony Davis what the whole Batman Robin thing? Because, you know, it's going to be weird, but moving forward, the Batman is going to be Anthony Davis. He's the most important player on that team.
All right. Trouble at the Souk household, from what I hear.
Hot blanket talk.
Hot blanket talk.
Yeah.
It's coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, our NFL Hump Day Roundup is next. Gus Frerotte will join us 5:30, but trouble on the horizon at the Souk house, I'm hearing.
Well,
I've gotten wind of this.
This came up because we were talking about blankets. And, you know, Mike said the perfect temperature in the house is when you want a blanket on you. And you asked, even when it's hot, do you still find yourself wearing a blanket?
Yeah, because you keep it so cold. You keep the AC so... It's really hot outside. You keep the AC so cold that you need a blanket.
Here's the thing.
Inside.
I don't want a blanket. I don't want a blanket. I don't want a sheet. I want nothing. I'm like a big walrus that needs to be fanned. I sleep with nothing on me, the fan going at all times. Maybe at some point, like you wake up in the middle of the night, maybe then you grab something and throw it over the top of you if there's a slight chill. But most part, I just turn down the fan. And I've been accused of this being like some sort of like I'm an awful person for this. Like, am I the only one? Like, I keep asking people and no one seems to agree with me on this, that you have to have a blanket on top of you to sleep. I say nay. And here's the problem in which we're facing. The lady friend keeps putting a blanket on top of me. She knows I don't want it. She knows it's an issue and she can't help herself. It's like an involuntary thing. We'll be laying there. I clearly have removed the blanket from me and the sheet. I don't want it. And sure enough, she'll be laying there and she can be half asleep and she reaches over and grabs a sheet and a blanket and puts it over the top of me. And I'm like, what?
All she wants is you to be comfortable.
And I'm like, stop.
Maybe she just doesn't want to look at you.
I'm like, what is happening here? Knock it off. And then she complains because she wants me under the covers with her. No, I don't want to be under the covers. I'm this close to having to build a pillow wall between us in order to keep her sheet blanket ways from interfering upon my sleep.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I cannot identify with this.
It's becoming a thing.
Although I can. Oh, there she is.
Probably.
She's texting you.
She knows what she's doing.
I can fall asleep without covers.
Yeah.
But I think inevitably in the middle of the night, I'll reach for the duvet, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have like a duvet cover thing?
We do. We have.
And she keeps it on her side and then she throws it on top of you.
Yes, there is a sheet and then the duvet. And so when I get in, I just remove everything and I just kind of fold it over on top of itself. And then if she wants to be close to me, she's a cuddler, which is fine. I like to cuddle. Then what we'll do is I'll lean up against her, but then I want everything folded so it's right. There's like a line of demarcation, like a canyon there, where the blanket's right on her, and she wants to be like cocooned, wants to be wrapped. Not going to happen. If you want me laying next to you, that can't happen. I generate enough heat. And here's the other thing. She is like a little furnace too. So if you do put the blanket on top with my natural heat and the fact that she runs hot, like 5 minutes later, everyone's sweating. And now once the sweat has begun, my night is ruined. I can't sleep. I'm uncomfortable. The sheets are sticky. It's just all bad. And I just, it drives me crazy. At least five times over the course of the night, she will reach over and grab a sheet or a blanket and put it on top of me. And
I think that
that's a lot of times over the course of one night.
And that's what I'm saying. And I'll be like, I'll leave and she'll be half asleep. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm asleep. I'm like, you're not asleep because you're putting blankets on me. Knock it off.
She needs to respect your space.
Yes.
That's an easy one. But I think it would suck to be that way. I think that sucks.
What?
Not wanting covers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really bad.
That sucks. You're missing out on some comfort.
Why?
Well, because it's comfortable.
I'm free. I'm loose. Warm. My legs are encumbered. I can move around. I mean,
if it's a little
want.
Bit warm and I know I'm going to sweat a tiny bit, so I still put the blanket on because it's more comfortable.
And you know what else? It's way more comfortable. And you know what else, too, is you can kick your little feetsies out.
Yep, you get some cool air there.
Get some cool air on
or
there.
Or your arm goes out to the right or left.
Yes.
I've got an oscillating fan on me, and if I put the blanket on, I can't feel the fan.
I feel like you're going to Disney. Like, you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You're going to Disney World and not riding the rides. Like, you're not getting the full experience. And that's the way you want it, which is fine. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to be that way.
And everyone thinks I'm crazy. They're like, how can you not have something on top of you? I find it very constrictive. I need to be out living my life. I need to be free.
So what are you like tying it around your body? A blanket on top of you is still loose.
I need to be
roaming
the plains.
You can still move around normally like a human.
Like the great buffalo roaming the plains. They don't have blankets on top of them. They just lay down somewhere and away you go.
They have something called fur, which acts as a blanket.
Have you seen my back? It's pretty furry. The older I get, I'm developing not only a thick layer, but of skin and everything else, but I've got the hair to go along with it. I'm fine. I don't need anything. Like, now here's the one thing I've made the deal. If you want, let's crank the coolness down. You put it at like 50 or in the winter, you let me open a sliding door and make it like a meat locker in there. Sure. Then we'll do a blanket, but no, she wants it normal room temperature. Then with sheets and blankets, not going to happen. And she sweats. That is, if she gets sweaty, that is evidence that the sheet and the blanket are too much. So why do you have them on?
Because it's more comfortable. It has nothing to do with the temperature of your. That's what I'm saying. I am a sleep sweater. I sweat when I sleep, but I still wear two blankets every night because it's more comfortable to me. I like the weight of the two blankets. I have one that's light and one that's heavier, and it's just more comfortable. Who cares if I'm sweating?
Yeah. Get all wrapped up in there.
No. That blows
Close your
my
eyes.
Mind. Because I'll be like, you're clearly hot. You're sweating. Now you're sweating over on me. Take the blankets off. No. She'll take a blanket off, but still wraps herself in the sheet. And
why don't you sleep on top of it? That'll piss her off.
Oh, believe me, that's an issue. If I'm on top of the blankets, that's why I've gone with the fold. I make like you're folding an accordion paper, right? I'll make three or four folds, and then so the blanket just kind of lays on top of her, and then there's me. It's like the White Walkers. There's a wall there, and I'm that wall that separates blankets from non-blankets, and you're not coming over the wall. You're just, it's not going
to
happen.
You guys are prime candidates to have separate bedrooms.
It's eventually. It's on its
and
way.
There are people that do that.
Yeah.
And it's way better for some people. And that seems to be where this is going.
And people asking, do I have clothes on? No, there's no clothes on.
You know who else slept like this?
Huh?
Hitler.
Hitler was naked with no covers.
Yeah.
Like, am I a serial killer because
Dahmer,
of this?
Dahmer slept like this.
Genghis Khan.
It's way, way more refreshing.
Kim Jong-un sleeps like this.
Now, do you agree? Do you like having the fan on?
Yes.
But if you have the fan on.
I have
on,
two fans on.
Oh, so
ceiling fan and like. I have a ceiling fan and then I got the window fan.
Mm.
Here's the thing.
We don't have fans.
If you like the fan, but you got the covers, then you can't feel the fan.
Yes, you can.
Sure you can.
Your face is still out. Your neck is still out. You can lower the cover slightly over your back. Your hands are out. Your feet are
out. Sure.
You're getting like 15% of the fan. Me, I'm getting 100%
of
the fan.
Yeah, but you can control it. You can. It's like a governor.
Mm.
You have options.
Yeah. You can let it blow on your ass if you want. Just flip that
you
ass out.
You kick your feet up and the blanket goes over your back and then your legs are out.
That I love.
I do that.
The big blanket flip with the kick.
The only problem is if you want it back over your legs, it's kind of a pain in the ass to get it back.
Yeah,
because you flipped it over yourself.
I don't have to worry about it because I'm unencumbered. I'm free and loose.
Stalin too.
Yeah.
Sook single says a text in 3, 2, 1.
Sook, you're weird.
That is a little odd. To each their own. However, if I were her, I'd have issues with you.
Yeah. Oh, believe me.
Clearly, she does because she subconsciously puts the blanket on you.
Yes. And that's the thing is like,
in her head, she's like, just wear the damn blankie, you jerk.
So here's the thing.
She's trying to change you.
After one or two times, she puts it on and I'm like, no. I don't say anything. Here's how it goes. The first time I just remove it. The second time you get one of these, no, and remove it. It's like disciplining like a child. The third time you're like, no, what are you doing? By the fourth time, it's more of a, hey, no. No.
Do you think she's just trying to catch you asleep so that you don't notice that the blanket's on you?
And that's the thing. I'll wake up at night sometimes and guess what's on me. And I'm like, son of a bee. I'm like, what is happening here? I go to sleep with no blanket on top of me. What do I do when I wake up like 3 a.m.? Now there's a blanket. Now I'm uncomfortably warm. The fan isn't blowing on me. And my whole night, it's thrown into
you
chaos.
You know what, Bill? Those couple hours of the blanket was on you didn't notice? Probably the best sleep you'd had all week.
No question. Please. You were way more comfortable. You didn't even know it.
Negative.
If you had like a sleep tracker on, you'd be in the deep sleep zone right there.
Everyone wants like the weighted blankets. No. That's the best way to go is to just, I'm telling you, free yourself of the burdens of the world. Go. That's the way we were meant to be.
You can stop trying to sell everybody on this suit because I'm assuming almost nobody agrees with you.
How do monkeys sleep, right?
There are people that agree with you.
We're just monkeys, right?
Why do you have to tell how... Why would you tell other people how to sleep?
But people keep telling me that I'm wrong in how I sleep.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong. I just think you're weird. That's weird. That's odd. I feel for you. Yeah. I'm going to pet your little head. All right. NFL Hump Day Roundup next on The Fan.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.